Thanks, Rich. Dom alluded to it a little bit in our announcements. I want to give some context or some background. Not only did we see it necessary out of the search committee and looking for a lead pastor to bring them up to date of why we do the things we do, but just even some background in the history of our church when we first began. And Dom showed the book here. I have one as well. Certainly, I will share my book as well. I did share one of these before, and I never got it back, so I'm going to be a little more on the police force on that. But in the inception of our church, I really believe God, through the Holy Spirit, led us to a man down in Texas, Gene Getz, who was a professor at Dallas Theological, and he wrote this book, Sharpening the Focus of the Church. They challenged him at Dallas to go start a church based on this format. When you read this book, and we sent five people down to Texas, I was not one of them. But when they came back and I read this book, I really believe that God used Gene Getz to write a manual that is powerful. This is basically scripture, and it helps us set up and answer kind of these questions. Why does the church exist? What's the purpose of the church? Or another way to ask that is, what does God and Christ and the Holy Spirit want to accomplish through His people? Excellent book. And we want to, in the next 4 weeks, kind of give you snippets out of the book. I'm giving the chapter, Why Does the Church Exist? Next week, Andrew is going to help us look through the three lenses that Gene Getz encourages to look at. The lens of Scripture, the lens of history or superculture, from the time the first century church began all the way up to the present church. And then the third lens is the lens of our day, our culture itself. How do we make Christ and His church relevant without compromising the truth of the gospel in our day today? Steve's going to touch on the aspect of discipleship, and I'm going to share a little bit about that. And then I'm going to end the fourth week by sharing the leadership and what God has suggested through the scriptures in that. It's a very exciting, very powerful look of helping us understand what the Godhead wants us to do. The word church, ecclesia. Here's a definition out of the Greek. The church, a gathering of people called out from their homes or family to a public place or assembly. That's what we do here. Community could be another word to say that. I like the word family. And years ago, when we were Family Bible Church, our key verse to remind us of that was Hebrews 2:11. Both the one who makes men holy, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and those who are made holy, you and I, if we've been born again, if we are in Christ, are of the same family. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Marvelous verse. We are the body of Christ. We are family. We're His church. And we gather together primarily to glorify Him and to be His hands and feet. So I want to kind of give you just a quick synopsis of the book, of the chapter, Why Does the Church Exist? And there's many other churches that formulate this verse from the Great Commission, it's called, from Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus said this, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and being careful to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you to do. And Jesus said, and I will be with you every moment to the end of the age. Listen to the verbs of that challenge that Jesus encouraged us to do, that commandment. These are all imperatives. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach, and obey. That's a pretty good picture of why we're here to exist. God, in His wisdom, chose to use you and I to further His kingdom. And it's kind of like this. Do any of you remember the first job you ever had? How many remember that? Good. Do you remember your first day in high school, which was different, or college? Okay. You get there and you kind of feel, I'm alone, I'm isolated, I'm not sure what's going on. So you took the time to find out, how does the school run? What do they expect of me? What do the teachers expect? My workplace, how do they want me to behave? What is my job description? Similar to that, when God calls us to Himself and He places us in His kingdom and we become part of His church, the body, there's an immense amount of knowledge and things that we want to learn that God wants us and how to operate within His body. And we basically want to understand two aspects of what God is looking for. You could fill in, you know, a few more in that. But if, Sean, if you could put this up on the screen here. And we have some papers, some copies of this if you want to see it. So if it, you're not going to be able to read this and understand it, but this gives us a glimpse of what God is asking His people, His family, the church to be. Primarily, we want to cover or be or accomplish two things for Christ while we're still living here in His kingdom, until His kingdom comes. The first, evangelism. Part of that, go, make disciples to all nations. What we say here is where we live, where we work, where we play. I'm to be a witness, a voice of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others have the opportunity to hear the marvelous message of salvation. We're a community to be able to accomplish that. Now, in a practical way, how do we accomplish that? Well, I'm gonna say this first. Between evangelism and edification, which is the building up of the church together, what we do out there is evangelism. What we do in here is edification. We are building each other up. And how do we accomplish that? It's neat to see some of the initiatives that we have here at Hope. And you are part of that. You are essential to be in the church here at Hope in Willow Grove. And we are so thankful as leaders how you accomplish that. Let me just list some of the things that we have done and are doing to accomplish this. And how appropriate it is for Tanya to share what God's doing in her life, preparing her to go to Dominican Republic. You tell her things that she can learn down there. How appropriate it is to have Dima here. Because we have a part worldwide in Help the Children and Summit Missions out of Ohio. So these are initiatives that God has allowed us to be part of, to further the gospel. Back in 1980, when we first became an organized church, and I'm going to teach a little bit about that when it talks about leadership, but the state of Pennsylvania required us to fill out a form, why and what is the purpose of our existing together as a church. And here's what we put on there. And that's up in the little room up there above Andrew's office. I have no idea where it is. But it's there. We have a document. Why do we meet? Here's the purpose. Solely for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the state says, I'm okay with that. And I pray that we never lose that ability to be joined together to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then as leaders, as people join together, we kind of try to get a summary of who are we? What are our gifts, our abilities, our talents? And I think many of you know this. We're a church of children. We love kids. So we have a VBS so that we can bring the community of children in here. That's evangelism. We have a work at Christ Home through Hope's Treasures, a work in Transnistria with Help the Children, and Anna and Mark and Dima. And you guys go. I've never been there. I heard it's getting better. I think at my age I'd have a hard time with some of the ways that you guys had to live. But I heard last year you slept in hotels for the first time, and God is good. It was a blessing. We want to continue that. The world needs to know that Jesus is the only Savior of the world in this broken world. And a marvelous Savior He is. We also invest in Jeff and Sue Pankratz, who have a ministry not only outside of Washington, D.C., but a ministry in India and China to help children who are enslaved as objects of sex. And Jeff's going to be coming in a few months. Is it March? February. I knew it was soon here. And we can be excited about that ministry. Great people. We have an opportunity to be part of evangelizing that part of the world. We have the Kimbros. Jerry works for Surge. And Surge is an organization that sends missionaries out all over the world. What a great opportunity to support this family who has part in what God's doing around the world. We have the Richard Kabazi in Uganda. Again, here's our kids' connection. He has an orphanage in the organization of a road in Uganda at the Hope Learning Center. Good name, huh? Who's doing wonderful things with children. And it's just great. Where we live, where we work, where we play, we want you to learn deeper a love for Christ and prepare you so that you can go out and share with your neighbors where you work. What a privilege it is to share what God's doing in our lives. Then we get to the part of edification. And Steve's going to touch on that a little bit with the whole aspect of making disciples. But this is where we become strengthened inside this building to be able to be equipped, says Ephesians, so that we can be so effective in our lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we have this service here on a Sunday, to teach, to train, to encourage, small groups, the Bible studies. How great is that? That the women are going to learn how to stand up against the evil one that's out in that world. God has equipped us to be able to stand against Satan powerfully. And if we can learn to accomplish that, it's a wonderful thing. So that I want to encourage you guys, those who attend here, who are members here, that you and I want to grow in the aspect of knowing who God is and becoming stronger in faith, in love, so that, and we don't have our main banners up, we have the winter banners, but so that we can be a caring place where God is changing us, so that I can love not only you, but everybody that needs to hear the message of Christ. And so that we can be a place that's genuine. It was so neat when Brian and Angie came here, the love that they felt from all of you guys. Man, that's what we want to be. And we can grow in that, as Philippians that we study, grow in love more and more. God, continue to work, transform me, that I would have the love that you have, because I'm about that much when it comes to your love, and I can keep growing. And I can be strengthened here. And I can understand that the Christian life is about the heart. And my heart and your heart, apart from Christ, is dirty. It's evil. Jeremiah says, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So that when I understand the gospel, and I understand that it's His grace by faith that I turn from my wicked ways and I repent and I see that God, through Jesus, is necessary to live this Christian life, and the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells me, I can now, for the first time, live a life that is holy before Him. Just like it said in Hebrews 2:11, the one who makes men holy, He's making me holy. He's declared me righteous. Wow. What a marvelous story. And as we prepare for communion, I want to give you a double whammy of scripture that really helps us understand God's heart for evangelism. For the aspect of going wherever we go to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us. Preach the gospel in season and out of season. I'm going to ask Sean to put this up on the screen. This covers it both. The love in here will have an impact out there. And I'm going to read this from John 17. This is Jesus our Lord. Most of you know this passage. This is Jesus our Lord preparing to give His life as a sacrifice, to die for us. And this is what He's praying about. It says this: My prayer is not for them alone, the disciples, the here and now in His life in the first century. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message. That's you and me. Our Lord is praying 2,000 years ago for the disciples then and there, that they would be faithful to send the message out, and they were, and that message came to me through the gospel and to you guys who are in Christ, who are born again. That all of them may be one. That's our goal. That's our edifying. That God would do a work in our hearts, that we would be one. I am so convinced of this, but I recognize we don't always let God do this in us. That's why we have fights and quarrels among us, says James. Because we want things rather than live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why sometimes our marriages hit head on, because we want to live for ourselves. Oh, that we would understand this deeper, so that we would become one. Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. This special love that comes from God is supernatural. And gang, we have it here. We want to grow in it. We want to be able to love everybody with an abundant love that comes from God alone. supernatural love. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Do you sense Christ's heart here? I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. Here's evangelism again. To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Well, there's a whole lot of love that God wants in His church. And you and I can have that more. And the powerful example that we have, and Jesus told His disciples, is, listen, part of the Last Supper, every time you partake of the bread, I want you to think about my body. Every time you drink of the cup of the Passover, I want you to think of me. So that, symbolically, this is the epicenter of our Lord. This demonstrates who Christ is. Christ is the head of the church, and He gave Himself for us because He loved us. So we need to remember as we partake of this today that it's all because of the work of Christ. And it's where my strength lies. It's not in me. Jesus took on sin and death for you and I so that we would not have to die. Marvelous. And I want to say it this way as I thought it through. In the Old Testament, we had a shadow or a picture of what Christ was going to do for us. But the Old Testament had sacrifices day in and day out that only covered our sins. We come to the table today in remembrance. And the New Testament tells us. And I'll say it this way. The Old Testament tells us something had to die. The New Testament tells us someone had to die. For you and I. And not only that, but because He was God, He died once to remove sin. You and I, marvelous, you and I stand here righteous before a holy God, not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ done. And He wants us to remember that. As I pass out the elements, the crackers to represent His body, the juice to represent His blood, Ron's going to play for us. Just meditate on that. Lord, You died for us. This is Your church. Jesus said it this way, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to overthrow it. You and I are an army because of what Christ did. Ushers, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Think about your role in the church. Ask God how you can live for Him even more. Share my heart as you listen to this music and think about communion. I really believe God has put it in my heart to love His church, and I want to serve Him faithfully, and I know many of you do. I've dealt with people over the years. As I thought about this, it's just what a blessing for me. I've been to two churches in my whole life, and I've attended church for 67 years. Because I believe in the church. It's Christ's church. It's His body, and I'm part of that. And I've dealt with people who say, I don't need to go to church. My relationship with Christ is enough. Oh, I want to tell you, God died for the church. You and I need to know how much He loves the church. We need to be part of that. Don't let those thoughts get in. Jesus is worth our serving and our loving each other and going out to the world to tell Him. Just bow your head and talk to the Lord. Lord, how can I serve You more? What do You want me to do? The next time life comes hard on you and you feel overwhelmed, remember the cross. Christ conquered death for you and I. We're victorious, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's partake of His body together. Father God, thank You that You sent Your Son to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto You. And we partake of Your body. We want to live out Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You were willing to shed Your blood once for all for those who would come to You for the forgiveness of sins, to live a life that pleases You, that brings You glory. Father, help us to know why we exist as the church, for Your good pleasure, for Your glory, to carry out this mission of love to a world who needs You. Drink all of it, for our Savior died for us.